Welcome to the Lena and Jeff Show on DolphinsTalk.com. It's been a while since we've done one of these. So much for doing one every week.
Well, Landon, that's because the season doesn't really matter until training camp. And now that it's training camp, we are finally going to get on that much talked about, much promised schedule. We are going to do one of these Landon and Jeff shows a week. And I'm excited about it. How about you?
I am very pumped for this.
All right. Well, we're going to get into a lot of things here. Our goal, as always, is to keep this about a good 20-minute listen for you. Thanks again to everyone at DolphinsTalk.com for hosting this website. You know, hosting our podcast. You know, Landon, a lot has changed on the DolphinsTalk.com website since we started doing these podcasts. In fact, they've completely redone the entire new website. It looks great, don't you think?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I think it's really, really, really much improved. I also love the About Us section where you can see a picture of myself, Landon, and Landon's sister Amelia at a Dolphins game we went to last year. All right, but let's get right to it. So give me your number one takeaway now that training camp is finally, thankfully upon us.
The confidence in the team. Everyone's saying whenever they get asked a question, we don't care what the critics are saying. We're going to come out. We're going to play football. We're going to play our game. This is going to be us this season. We're going to all show up. And everyone showed up to the training camp. And that's the first time since 1997 that's happened. And I just feel like we're actually going to be a good team. We're trying to build on a culture. That's what Adam Gase is trying to do, getting rid of a couple of the other players. And we've really started building a culture of the new Dolphins. And I really think this is going to be a new team. Everyone's going to work as a team, not individual stats. It's going to be one, and as opposed to it being one touchdown for one player, it's one touchdown for the Dolphins.
Yeah, I mean, I think that'll be interesting. I think that, if nothing else, this team is more drama-free. However, I don't think anyone gets to hold the Lombardi Trophy at the end of the year as world champion for being drama-free. So while I'm glad that everyone's there, while I'm glad that we're self-proclaimed drama-free and everyone's excited about how the offseason went, I'm a little jaded, Landon. I'm a little older than you. In my 40s, and I'm tired of losing. And what I fear, my big take, my number one thing, and what I fear more than anything is if this doesn't work this year, if the Kenyon Drakes, if the Albert Wilsons, if everything doesn't come together, if Tannehill doesn't return to what he was 2 years ago when he had that flash of greatness under Adam Gase, then we're going to get rid of Adam Gase, and we're going to get rid of Tannenbaum, and we're going to get rid of Greer, and we're going to start all over. I don't want to start all over. I want something to actually work because I'm tired of all these years and years and years of it just not working. The other thing that I desperately want for this preseason, I don't know how you do this. Maybe you lock everybody away and put them in a bubble. Just no one get hurt. Like, I get it. Injuries are going to happen. Anyone can get happened anytime. Anyone can get hurt in any given play, whether it's in a game or practice. I'm so over four-game preseason. It should be three, maybe even two. And they've got to figure out a ways to keep guys healthy.
I would completely agree with that. And on the subject of injuries, Ryan Tannehill was wearing a knee brace. He didn't wear it during any of the other training, but he did today, and it said Tannehill 2.0 on the back of it. That concerns me. I don't think he should be, I get it if he needs to wear it, but I'm concerned that he needs to wear it. Like, it's to the point where he's been injured twice in 2 years in a row, and we haven't really been able to do much once he gets injured. So if he gets injured, it's the same concerns as you have, that we're going to have to restart again. Because people like Albert Wilson, like Kenyon Drake, Jakeem Grant, all those players on the offense who we've tried to get to start, and we now have them, and they're viable options for us to do good. If Tannehill goes down, I don't care who we have on the team. We're not going to do anything, and him in a knee brace is concerning me.
Well, I'd much rather him wear the knee brace than not wear the knee brace and get hurt. The point of the knee brace is to keep the knee stable. I had reconstructive knee surgery back when you were way younger. I don't even know if you remember that. In 2010, I couldn't walk for weeks, and it took me 9 months before I could really do anything. And trust me, the first thing I did when I did any sports or any athletic activity was wear a knee brace. And that's what it's there for. It's designed to improve the stability and to protect him in case someone rolls up it or something happens that shouldn't happen. I mean, normally quarterbacks wear red jerseys. Remember last year we went to Rams training camp and we saw our buddy Jared Goff and he had a red jersey on while everybody else had blue and white. I would put Tannehill in a glowing red jersey with a siren on it. And if anyone gets within 2 feet of him and potentially is moving towards him and they're not one of his offensive linemen or one of his protectors or a running back taking a handoff, some type of alarm should go off and 4 or 5 people should come out of wherever they are, out of the towers that are filming the practices or out of the crowd, and just stop whoever's there from hitting him. We cannot have anything happen to Ryan Tannehill. It's the single most important thing for the Dolphins this year. If he's hurt, it's over. Then we're all watching University of Missouri college games to see if that guy's going to be our next quarterback. But we can't get him injured. So if wearing the knee brace is what has to happen to keep him healthy, then I'm all for it.
I see your point.
Well, I'd hope so. I think it was a pretty good point.
I would agree.
All right. So talk to me about what else, one of the big storylines going into this season is all of the experts. I mean, you name it, from anywhere out there, that everybody pretty much has said that the Dolphins are going to be one of the worst teams in the league and that they're going to be lucky to win a handful of games. You know, the prognosticators in Las Vegas, who normally they're pretty right on these things, have not given us a lot of love. What do you think about all the every time you turn on the TV? Today we went to a sports bar here in San Diego for lunch, and all the NFL talk is the Dolphins stink. So how's that make you feel, and what do you think about it?
Yeah, obviously it's going to have some negative effects, but I have some belief in the Dolphins and all our young players, and I think that they did good in training camp. All the headlines are saying that the young players showed up, and they did good. So I do believe that they will do good, and as long as no one gets injured, I think that the young players will have their chances and their moments inside games in the 16-game week.
All right, well, I'm looking at the schedule. To me, the first 3 games are the key, right? We open up at home against Tennessee. Have to win that game. Just absolutely, absolutely have to win that game. I don't know what it's, you know, it's too early to guess what the teams are going to be, but you got to beat Tennessee. The second game against the Jets. This is good for me because I hate the Jets, but also because they're either going to be playing Sam Darnold in his second game ever, if he starts both of them. Teddy Bridgewater hasn't played in a couple years, or maybe one of the McCowns. I don't even know which McCown they have on their team. So if we win that game, we're 2-0. And then the Raiders come and travel. And I've been outspoken about the fact that I don't think John Gruden's return to coaching is going to go very well. I think it's going to go beyond poorly. But that's a whole bunch of new guys on this team, and they're adapting to an entire new situation. And they're traveling to Miami, which, as you know, we're out in California right now. In another week and a half, you're going to be traveling back to Florida. That trip's not much fun, is it?
No, it's going to be hot, humid, and in their black jerseys or whatever jerseys they're wearing, they're going to burn up in the heat.
Exactly. So all of a sudden, you look at this thing, we could be 3-0, but it's got to start with that Tennessee game. I think that, I know you don't want to sit there and spend your whole training camp focusing on one thing or focusing on Tennessee, but I really think it's key. Whatever you need to do, because they're going to come in with Derrick Henry running the ball, and we've got to shore up the run defense. My single biggest pet peeve of our team last year, and it's been well documented, is the play of the linebackers. It was atrocious. And as much as we can say, oh, letting Ndamukong Suh and that $17 million go, that's good for the salary cap, he was great against the run. So now we got him gone, and we had awful linebacking last year, and we're expecting Raekwon McMillan. How many starts has he had in the NFL?
Zero. He got injured on the first play of training camp.
Exactly. We have him. We have Kiko Alonso, who did not have a great year last year. And who knows who the third linebacker is going to be? Is it going to be one of these guys like Stephon Anthony? Is it going to be Joe Baker, the rookie from Ohio State? Who knows? I think we're going to end up playing 2 linebackers and 5 defensive backs most of the time. So maybe Minkah Fitzpatrick's coming up to be run support, or Rashad Jones coming up, or T.J. McDonald coming up. No matter what, the run support will be tested in game 1, but they've got to win that first game because I truly believe they can beat the Jets in Oakland. And if you're sitting at 3-0, that's when momentum starts rolling, and that's when culture is at its best and good things are happening. And all this stuff they're talking about believing in themselves when no one else does, it'll come to fruition.
Yeah, I really do believe that winning that first game, I think that's going to be the toughest game of the first 3. And if we win that game, I think that's going to start a train of a good season.
Yeah, because they get the Patriots in week 4. I don't even want to talk about them. Cincinnati week 5, the Bears in week 6. So if you come through that, you realistically could be 4-2, 5-1 with a little bit of luck. And I'm not being overly optimistic here, but that Tennessee game, I mean, Derrick Henry, remember the Titans added a good friend, Deion Lewis, who used to play for the New England Patriots and is an excellent running back. And Mike Vrabel, first-year coach, was with you know, Belichick for so many years, and I'm sure knows how to use Deion Lewis. So that one scares me a little bit. It's just because if I were them, I would just come and just say, we're going to run the ball 50 times, figure it out, Miami. And who knows if we're good enough to figure it out. That's to me what the next 4 weeks are about. I would love to see in one of these preseason games a team try to, with a good running back, run at us three times and we just stuff them three and out and we just move on. When was the last time we did that?
I can't even remember.
Well, you've only been alive 12 years in your defense, so it's hard to tell. All right. You're listening to the Landon and Jeff Show on DolphinsTalk.com. We're at about halftime of this show. We're about 10 minutes in. Our goal is to go about 20 minutes. We want to hear from you. If you leave us a comment below on the website, we'd love to hear from you and give you guys what you want to hear and get some solid feedback because we only want to get better. We're going to be doing this once a week, right, Landon?
Yes, we will.
And Mike has proposed some type of competition between us. Mike, of course, the main host on your Dolphins Talk Daily podcast. I don't know what this thing. I think it's going to be a prognostication thing. Maybe we each pick three games or five games or whatever it's going to be. But I personally like three games. And then we'll have a competition, a season-long competition between us and him. So I'm excited for that. I think that sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hopefully you'll say more than yeah when I ask you something.
Well, a competition between what?
Between us and Mike and his podcast. So we're going to pick three games a week, our locks of the week. He'll pick three games of the week, and we'll come up with whatever the rules are, and we'll see over the season who does a better job picking games.
Oh, okay. I see what you mean now. I think that'd be interesting.
Yeah, I think it could be kind of fun. But if you have other ideas for what you'd like to hear out of this podcast, please let us know. Because like I said, we are going to get into this more regular cadence. All right. A couple other things we want to cover before we move on is that, you know, so much has changed over, you know, from a year ago to now, and so many of the leaders have changed. What do you think, you know, you're on a team, you play competitive sports. What do you think that it take, how long do you think it takes for a new team to kind of come together when there's so many new people? Because, I mean, the quarterback wasn't even a part of it last year. How long do you think that takes?
I feel like it needs to take till long enough till they start believing in each other. In those first three games, if they believe that someone can lead the team, if the offense truly believes that Ryan Tannehill can win games, they're going to start putting faith into him, and he's going to start becoming a bigger leader. Now, I'm not saying it has to be Ryan Tannehill. It could be anyone on the roster. Just as long as they start showing, if they start showing people on the team, hey, I know what I'm doing. You guys know what you're doing. We're doing good. I think it's whenever they start believing. If they start believing in anyone on the team, I think they can become a leader.
All right. I think that it's really important that culture that they're talking about actually comes together. The other guy I want to talk about a little bit is Charles Harris. Charles Harris last year flashed and showed tremendous ability towards the end of the season to hurry the quarterback. He didn't necessarily get the sack all the time, but that's okay. Do you think Charles Harris can take a step up and become a star and become that kind of elite defensive end to pair with the ageless wonder, Cam Wake?
I think he easily could be. If he gets the pass rush off and he rushes the quarterback to where he has to throw a quick pass that he's not completely comfortable with, of course, that's going to help the team, and that's going to be one of the most important factors. Last year, we didn't really have a great pass rush. We didn't get too many sacks, and the linebackers were helpless. If we help them, giving the quarterback less time and not enough time to pick apart our complete defense and score 20 points, and if we sack them, maybe get it to a scenario where it's third down and they have to gain 10 yards, I think anyone can start making plays on the defense and that everyone's going to start rallying around who's creating those opportunities, and I think it could be him.
All right. What about Xavien Howard? He's the last guy whose jersey you've had who's still on the team, right? Well, no, you have a Tannehill jersey. He's still on the team. What do you think about Howard this year? I know you liked him from the minute go.
I think he's going to have a great year. He's going to be playing most of the downs in the defensive plays, and if he's playing a lot of downs, he's going to have a time to grow and to be the star who I think he's going to be. I think that with the pass rush help, with Charles Harris helping him in rushing, I think he's going to have a chance to make a ton of plays this season. I think he's really talented, and we just haven't been able to use that talent. But as you said, it's going to come to the point of, hey, if we lose the first three games, no one's going to be really excited for the fourth. But if we go for the first three games winning, then everyone's going to be like, okay, we're going to rally against the Patriots, we're going to try our best, and who knows? He might come up with a play. Tom Brady lost the Super Bowl, so.
That's true. I wish you know, we should watch that game again while you're still out here in California with me. I like watching the Patriots lose. One of my favorite things. Yeah, I think Xavier Howard has to become a star. I think he has to become that shutdown quarterback. I think if we can somehow will Charles Harris to become an elite defensive end, if we can somehow get Xavier Howard to be an elite, you know, I'm talking about guys that you know, they're talking about as all pros, you know, first team all NFL as a cornerback, and then Minkah Fitzpatrick, not to put a lot of pressure on him, but can be an impact player. And then the other key for me, as I've been saying for a while now, is Raekwon McMillan. If he can really come in and anchor that linebacker position and just be a sideline-to-sideline tackling machine, then this team has a chance. And that's all I want. I just want them to be competitive, Landon. I want to get through the first month of the season where I'm not disgusted when I wake up here at Sunday mornings thinking, uh-oh, here we go again.
Mm-hmm.
I'm tired of it.
Yeah.
I'm officially announcing that I'm tired of the Dolphins losing, and this is the year that I really need them to surprise. I like it. Let me ask you this. Would you rather be a team that is expected to do great or a team that everybody doubts and hopes that they do great?
I would love being – I'd much rather be a team that everyone expects to not do as well, because I like being the underdogs in things, scenarios. I think that if we're – the team that no one's expecting to be the best, and we go and make the playoffs or come close, being a runner-up, then everyone's going to be like, hey, this team's pretty good. They have an ability, and we do have talent to do that. And I think it starts with the defensive backs making the quarterback a little weary, throwing it in their direction.
All right. Well, you got to have linebackers who can stop the run, because last year it was as simple as handing the ball off and it was 4 yards. I'd rather be a team that everyone expects to be great and is great. I would love to just one time go into it as like, you know, how many years in a row have you been alive since the Patriots didn't win the division? I don't think you have. And I'd like that to change. You're too old to have grown up in a world where only the Patriots have won the division. I would love to be that team that you know, they have the swagger where they walk in and you know that they're not going to lose. Oh, well. We will see, right?
Mm-hmm.
So are you excited about preseason games? Because they start in about another week or so. Are you excited about that, or is that something you don't really pay much attention to the games?
If I'm just being honest, I'm not excited for those games, because it's literally just, like, the first games are fine, but it just becomes injuries.
Yeah, that's I hate preseason football. They just make it two games, people. Practices, two games. And just figure it out.
It's not
If you're these great coaches, right, and you have these great scouts, do you really need that third and fourth preseason game to figure out these guys belong on your team? I don't think they do.
I'm pretty sure coaches like Bill Belichick already know who we're going to start by that time.
Yeah, so after a couple games, you can figure it out. You got the practice squad. It's just the risk of injury, to me, outweighs anything. It's hard enough for these guys playing, you know, the 16-game schedule, let alone you put four preseason games in front of it. It's a pretty violent sport and a lot going on.
And there's no incentive for winning them or anything.
No. I could care less if they win or lose the games. But I just want everyone to stay healthy. All right, Landon. That's going to wrap up the third ever Landon and Jeff show. How do you think we did today?
I think we did pretty good.
All right. Pretty good. I'll take pretty good. We will do one more of these before you head back home and get really fully engrossed into football, because you'll be in the Sunshine State. But then we will continue to do one of these a week. We will have the conversation with Mike and figure out what we're going to do for this competition between the two podcasts. I don't know. What I wonder what the stakes should be, too. We're all Syracuse fans. Maybe there's a Syracuse bet payoff. I don't know. We'll have to talk to Mike and kind of figure that out. Any final words of wisdom for our listeners if they've made it through episode 3?
Not really, apart from listen to our next one.
All right. Look for us next week. Check out all the great stuff on DolphinsTalk.com. Landon may even write a column for DolphinsTalk.com at some point, too. You never know. You might write something.
I might.
Probably not, but who knows? Thanks so much for listening to the third ever edition of
The Landon and Jeff Show
on DolphinsTalk.com.